Thank you so much, choir. So beautiful. What a wonderful message and song. We have the best looking choir in all of West Georgia. They are well groomed. And closely shaven. For those of you who don't know, Andrea has never seen Lee without a mustache. And when the Chitwoods' youngest child, Abby Rose, saw her father clean shaven, she screamed and ran. I don't think we've had any screaming and running today, Lee, but the choir sounds great. Thank you so much for that beautiful time of worship. And our worship continues through the preaching of God's Word. And so I invite you once again to turn with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Last time we left off reading in verse 19. And today I'm just going to be preaching a single verse to you, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. But I want to read the entire text that was assigned for today, beginning in verse 20. And all the way down to the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy 2, and beginning in verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." And then the scripture for our sermon today, verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And then the rest of the chapter, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." It's talking about Christians here. How interesting it is to see in verse 26 that word escape. It's a great launching pad for our sermon today. As you can see in the worship guide, I'm preaching to you out of 2 Timothy 2:22 about the fugitive. It's not that long ago that Hollywood produced the film thriller The Fugitive, based on the 1960s series, The Fugitive, same name as the movie. And the more recent film thriller starred Harrison Ford, who played the role of Dr. Richard Kimball, a successful Chicago surgeon who is wrongly convicted of murdering his own wife. Well, you know the rest of the story. He then escapes federal custody and is called the fugitive. It is interesting that that word fugitive derives from the Greek language. As a matter of fact, if you'll closely investigate verse 22, the very first word in verse 22 is the word flee in the English language, but in the Greek language, it's pronounced this way, fugo. And from it, we get our English word fugitive. And it tells us how we should live as Christians. We should be on the run, running as fast as we can from sin. Looking there again at the first part of verse 22, it says flee or fugo. In other words, be a fugitive also from youthful lusts. You know, whenever Richard Kimball was a fugitive, he didn't just halfway trot to avoid capture. He ran at breakneck speed. In the original language of the Bible, this word flee or fugo means a constant persistent, continuous run to avoid capture. You don't even give yourself a break. It's not a jog. It's not a trot. But it's running at breakneck speed from sin. And sadly, many of us are not doing that as Christians. Some of us are just kind of toying with sin. We're kind of like adults who play the game of catch with preschoolers. You know, we've all done that. Teenagers and adults have played with preschoolers, the game of catch. You're really not trying to avoid capture from that preschooler. You're just kind of halfway trotting and laughing and looking over your shoulder, really hoping that the youngster will catch you. And I'm sad to report to you, there are too many Christians who are playing the game of catch with sin instead of running like a fugitive would run to avoid capture, running all out at breakneck speed. And what are we running from? Well, it says youthful lusts, or one translation puts it this way, evil desires of youth. Now, not to disparage the teenagers that are here today, this is talking about lusts that are commonly associated with being a youth or a young adult. But I want you to know today, and this is no news to any senior adult that I'm preaching to today, or median adult, youthful lusts are not confined to teenagers and to young adults. Youthful lusts are experienced by every age category of adulthood. Median adults, along with senior adults, are tempted in the same way as teenagers and young adults. And usually when we think of what are youthful lusts, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is sinful sexual desire. And that's probably where our mind stops, is thinking that's what Paul is talking about. But no, there are a lot of other youthful lusts. How about pride? How about the desire for power? How about unrighteous ambition? Ambition's not bad, but if it is unrighteous, then it is a youthful lust. How about an argumentative spirit? That is youthful lusts. Jealousy, envy. Paul is saying you need to run as fast as you can away from these sinful desires. Don't toy with them. Don't play catch with them. Be like Dr. Richard Kimball in the film thriller The Fugitive. Run with every resource you can. Run with every ounce of energy you have at your disposal, because the devil is after you. He is after every one of us. And he would love nothing better than to ruin your testimony and to bring shame and disgrace and dishonor to the name of Christ. Yes, he is nipping at your heels every moment of the day, trying to bring you down, hoping that you'll just look over your shoulder long enough to be caught, to be captured by your youthful lusts. Be a fugitive. Be like Dr. Richard Kimball. Run constantly, persistently, and continually. Don't give yourself a break, because the moment you give yourself a break, the moment you look over your shoulder, is the moment that you'll be caught. So, live a holy life, live a godly life, run from sin. But there's another thing that we need to do here in verse 22, and that is chase God. Read all of that part of verse 22 again. Flee also, be a fugitive from youthful lusts, youthful evil desires. But pursue, or your Bible might say, follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You see, it's not enough to run from sin like a chicken with your head cut off, with no goal and no objective, just running around in circles, just running willy-nilly, with no target, with no purpose, with no finish line in sight. I mean, what good is it to run without an objective, without a goal, without an aim? And that's why so many of us are unsuccessful in running from sin. We're trying to run from the devil. We're trying to run from his temptations, but we have nothing that we're running toward. And that's why Paul gives us four objectives of godly living that we need to be aiming at if we're going to be successful in being a fugitive from sin. Again, to mention to you the film thriller, The Fugitive, you'll remember in the plot, Dr. Richard Kimball is not only running at breakneck speed to avoid capture, but he is also running in pursuit of justice. He is running in pursuit of the truth. And that's what keeps him going. That's what keeps him alive in his quest and in his venture for righteousness. Friend, we need to run in the same way. And it tells us here how we ought to run. There's four objectives that we ought to have as we're fleeing sinful desires. First of all, it says, pursue or follow after righteousness. And I want to tell you, in my experience, the only effective tool in pursuing righteousness is this book right here. You need to be a student of the Bible. It will show you God's righteous standards for living. And that's why I believe that Sunday school is so vitally important for every Christian. But not just Sunday school. If you're just counting on my preaching on Sunday morning and your Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning to make you successful in being a fugitive from sin, then you're going to be caught every time. You need to have personal Bible study throughout the week. And as you get into God's Word on a daily basis, you're going to learn what God's expectations and standards are for righteous living. And you're going to be well on your way as you pursue that goal of righteousness to outrun the sin that is nipping at your heels. But there is a second objective here in verse 22 as we just unpack every word here. Not just righteousness, but we need to be following or pursuing faith. Now, I know a lot of us are Twitter followers. We have certain personalities, certain people, certain organizations that we follow on Twitter. And some of us do it with surprising regularity and frequency. Wouldn't it be wonderful if today you started following faithfulness as diligently as you follow on Twitter? I pray that today some of us will get so serious about chasing after God that we will follow after the faith that Paul describes here. As a matter of fact, the original word here for faith is better translated faithfulness. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of devotion to God. It speaks of loyalty to the Lord. And I can tell you, as the pastor of First Baptist Church Noonan, it is my joy and honor to know so many committed, faithful followers of Christ here at First Baptist Church Noonan. You're an example to me. You're an inspiration to me as I am a fugitive from sin, running from sin, and pursuing righteousness and faithfulness. But not only this, go on and let's see the third objective that we should be running after as we chase God. And that is, as you see it there, love. In the Greek language, which the New Testament is written in, there are many words for love. The English language only has one word for love. But the highest form of love in the Greek language is the word agape. And this is the kind of love that is spoken of here in verse 22. It is godly kind of love. It is sacrificial kind of love. It is selfless kind of love. It is the kind of love that put Jesus on the cross. And he suffered and bled and died there on the cross 2,000 years ago. He ignored the cost to him personally. He didn't pay attention to the suffering and the pain and the torture that he was enduring, because while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. That's the kind of love that we ought to have for other people. Boy, if you have that kind of love, if you're running after that kind of love, if you're chasing God in pursuits of agape, self-sacrificial love, you'll be well on your way to outrunning the sin that is after each and every one of us. That kind of love puts the other person ahead of ourselves. It has no selfishness in it, no self-gratification, no personal fulfillment. It's Jesus Christ who is our example of this kind of love. But as you chase God, don't only run after righteousness and faithfulness and love, but you see the fourth thing that we ought to be pursuing here, and that is peace. That word peace in the Greek language of the Bible is pronounced this way, irene. Irene. From it we get our English word serene or serenity. That's what every one of us wants. Oh, we want the serenity and the peace that only God can give. We want the peace that passes understanding, the peace that this world cannot offer. Only God can give us that kind of peace. And as you're running after this peace, you need peace in two dimensions. First of all, you need to have peace with God the Father. Now, here's the truth about every one of us. In our lost and sinful condition, we have no peace. There is enmity between our sinful nature and holy, righteous God. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he suffered and bled and died, suspended between heaven and earth. Suspended between heaven, where his holy, righteous Father is, his sinless Father is, and earth, where we sinful men are. And when Jesus suffered and bled and died on that cross, he took one nail-scarred hand and he placed it in the righteous, holy hand of his Father. And then he reached down in love to every one of us with the other nail-scarred hand, and he grabbed our hands, and he brought the two together and made peace between sinful man and holy, sinless God. Billy Graham was so intrigued by that thought that years ago he wrote a tract called Steps to Peace with God. And there's some of us listening to me today that don't have peace with God. You've not followed those steps. You've not admitted that you're a sinner, that you've done things that are wrong. You've not believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And you've not confessed Him as the boss and the Lord of your life. But you know what? You could do that today. You could do that right now while you're seated on this pew. And God could give you peace and serenity between holy, righteous Father God and your sinful nature. And the two could become one in peace. But it's not enough there. Paul is not just talking about pursuing peace with God. He's also talking about pursuing peace with each other, especially Christians. In Romans 12, 18, he's speaking to believers, and he says, as much as it depends on you, like it depended on nobody else, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with other believers. Be at peace with other Christians. Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry about how they're making a bad situation. You act like everything depended on you, and you pursue peace with other Christians. You'll be well on your way to outrunning sin if you'll do that. If you'll be in pursuit of righteousness, of faithfulness, of love, and of peace. But go on here with me, because this verse is not over. You see, to have a life that pleases God, a life that is godly, we must not only run from sin and chase God, but we must do it with other committed Christians. And that's why the third point of this verse is form Christian partnerships. And the most important word in the last part of this verse is the word with. I've underlined it in red in my copy of God's Word. You see, we don't do it in isolation. We don't run from Satan. We don't run from sin and pursue righteousness by ourselves. It's not being a lone ranger, but it's doing it with other people. Just see it again there in verse 22 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Flee also youthful lust." In other words, run from sin. "But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Chase God." And now here's that word with. With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Friend, if you try to run from the devil by yourself, you'll get caught every time. If you try to pursue God on your own without the encouragement and help of other believers, you'll fail miserably each and every time. That's why we need each other. That's why you need a church home. If you don't have a local body of believers that preaches and teaches God's holy inspired word, you're exposed. You need to have Christian brothers and sisters who are your partners in the faith and who are encouraging you and holding you accountable for living the way God wants you to live. Do you have an accountability partner? There's a young pastor in our area. I'm friends with lots of young pastors in our area, and one particular young pastor I'm an accountability partner to. And we have this agreement. He has a third-party professional company that watches his activity on the internet. And every time he visits a questionable site on the internet, it reports that activity to me. I get a weekly report of where my young friend has visited on the internet on a weekly basis. And some of the questions, I mean, this is a pretty, intense filter that is watching what he does. I've been amazed sometimes they've reported to me as a questionable website, MSN.com. And so MSNBC is a questionable website according to this particular watchdog that is watching his activity on the internet. And so each week I get a report of any questionable websites he might have visited, and this is our agreement. I've told him the first time I get a report that is questionable, I'm going to give you a call. I'm just going to give you a call. We're going to talk about it. The second time I get a report that you visited a questionable website, I'm not going to call you. I'm going to call your wife. Seriously, seriously, do you have that kind of solid Christian partnership that is holding you accountable, that is keeping your feet to the fire? If you do not, you're going to get caught by sin each and every time. You can't do it by yourself. You're not going to be able to pursue righteousness, to pursue faithfulness, to pursue love, and to pursue peace if you're just trying to do it on your own without the encouragement of other believers. And notice how these other partners and Christians are described here in verse 22. Let's just unpack the rest of this verse. These people are described in verse 22 as those who call on the Lord. Those who call on the Lord. When I read that, it reminded me of Romans 10:13, which uses the same expression. It says, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. And so here's the first qualification. Since this person needs to call on the Lord, it needs to begin with Romans 10, 13. They have called on the Lord for salvation. They're saved. They're saved and they're living for the Lord. As a matter of fact, you'll see the second qualification of this person who has called on the Lord. And I believe that also means that they're seeking God in prayer. They're calling on Him on a daily basis, a moment by moment basis. This is the kind of person that you need to have as your accountability partner. It's someone who knows the Lord and someone who is calling on Him on a daily and consistent basis, seeking His face, seeking His direction in prayer. Do you have that kind of friend? Or just have friends that are just kind of trotting, just kind of jogging, and not really living the life, not really living for the Lord? Well, here's another qualification. Not only that they call, you see it there in verse 2, on the Lord, but that they do it out of a pure heart, a pure heart. I've got some news for you. Not everybody who is called on the Lord for salvation and names the name of Christ and is going to heaven someday is doing it out of a pure heart. I'm sad to tell you that. There are many, many Christians who are living by the flesh. They're letting their carnality dictate how they live, and that's why they're not running at a sprinter's speed away from sin. They're just kind of trotting. They're just kind of toying with the idea of sin. And friend, if that's who you're hanging out with at school, at work, in your neighborhood, you're going to get caught every time by sin. The Bible puts it this way, evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to come up with fleas. You need to form some solid friendships with people who are number one Christians and who are calling on the name of the Lord, praying, seeking God out of a pure heart, not a divided heart, but a heart that is singularly committed to God. If you'll do that, you'll be well on your way. I know a lot of you are saying, well, I don't have that kind of friend. I don't know where to find that kind of friend. Let me tell you where you can find that kind of friend today. You can find it in Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When this whole world disappoints you and abandons you in your pursuit and your chase after God, Jesus will be right there at your side. He'll be the friend that you can talk to, that you can tell whatever's going on in your life to. And then some of us who are just not really related to any local body of believers that is preaching and teaching God's word, you can take care of that today. If God's Spirit leads you to come into the life of First Baptist Church Noonan, I'm going to be waiting for you right down here at this altar. We're going to stand in a few moments, and you're going to have the opportunity to get up from where you're seated and come from the balcony, come from the back and the front and say, you know what? I want to run from sin, and I want to chase after God, and I want to do it with people who know Jesus, who have called on His name, not only once for salvation, but are continually calling on His name in prayer for guidance and direction out of a pure heart. You can join that kind of family here today. You can join and link arms with people who are running just like you are, running from sin and chasing after God. I don't know what your heart is, but I do know this. God sees your heart. He knows what's there. He knows what you need to do. And His Spirit's telling you what you need to do. So won't you be obedient to Him today? If you've not received peace from Jesus, won't you receive Him as your Savior? If God is leading you into this church, won't you come and link arms with us as we chase after God with every head bowed and every eye closed? Oh, dear God, how we thank You today for Your word, for how it shows us how to live, And I pray for everyone that's listening to me today, Father. I just ask that you would help us to see the truth of your word, that we would do everything that we can to live the kind of life you want us to live. And for those of us that need to make decisions today, make serious commitments today, I pray that you'll give us the strength and the courage to do that. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.